Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
The story around academia is a big one. And what's interesting to me is that that Shai Davidai, who is the pro-Israel professor, he was the guy that challenged Columbia University over anti-Semitism. He has resigned. And we wanted to talk about this because to a large extent, he became the symbol of the approach to American and maybe even global academia. Joining us this morning, Professor Bill Kohlbrenner, who is a professor of English at Bar-Ilan University, and Ronit Eitan, PhD candidate. Good morning, guys. How are you both? Oh, can you hear us?
Yeah, we're here. We're here, Harry. Good morning, Howard. Yeah, we're here.
There we go. So how are you doing today?
We're great. And, you know, I have to tell you, Howard, you know, when your producer sent us about Davidai, I got a little bit triggered by him because, you know, I thought this is not a real academic because he's out there as an activist. And Ronit actually, as usual, corrected me. The guy has a real publication record. He is a real academic.
They are such snobs, these academics.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Did I
just say that out loud because I was thinking it?
Yeah. So anyway, he's Israeli,
right.
And his grandfather was involved in Eichmann's capture.
So oh, that's wow! Cool, wow. Yeah.
And here's where I had to correct myself because, of course, Davidai, as you said, right after October 7th, he really became a kind of activist, and he was thrown into the limelight because the Palestinians on campus somehow imagined—and this is just the way they always work. They turn everything on its head while they are preventing Jewish students from going into classrooms, harassing Jewish professors, going into Jewish classrooms, and going into academic classrooms and disrupting professors. They arrange for Davidai to be suspended by Columbia. And interestingly, it was really the reason he's in the news, of course, is that yesterday he decided that he had had enough and that he was going to go and pursue something else. I mean, what he did really at Columbia, and this was so important, just for the limelight that was cast on the university, is he warned parents that their children were simply not safe on university campuses.
I remember.
So it's really not just a question of free speech, which it's been turned into. And of course, the free speech of Palestinians is never undermined or questioned, but it's really a question of safety. And I think that's his accomplishment. You know, I was saying earlier, you know, if it were me at Columbia, I probably would have stayed home. And Renee, what about you? Would you have stayed home?
Nope. I would have stood head to head with those protesters. I relate to him in a way. It's a very Israeli activism because it's brash, it's in your face, it's unapologetic. And it's really interesting because he is very left-wing. When he was in the army, he refused to serve in the West Bank. I mean,
wow,
this is not a guy.
Yeah, so this isn't somebody.
Right-wing.
Well, isn't that what's happened? Because no matter what your credibility was or your political leanings were prior to October the 7th, you have to, unless you swallow the their line completely, you're out.
Yeah, it's almost a forced activism, which is something that most of us, you know, we don't do on a day-to-day basis. But October 7th changed that. It changed that for you, Howard. It changed for Bill. It changed for me. And he is a product of that because he was, and I have to say that I'm really sad that he resigned. Because
yeah, I wanted to ask about that. Is that letting them win?
Yes, I think it does. I think it does because I think it's, you know, we're forced into many corners. There is an embargo of weapon that you see constantly, you know, from other countries, even though, unfortunately, we have this strength. And there's an embargo of thought. And I think the easiest thing is to just kind of quit the system. And I know he tried to fight the system from within. So I do not know what, I mean, I'm sure there was a lot of pressure on him, and it's not an easy position to be in Colombia during those, the past 2 years. But it makes me sad that it's easier for them now, isn't it? It's easier for the institution to just be free of us Israelis, right? And so to me, I have to say, because he wrote on Twitter that he's going to go and for his podcast and a book, and I want him there. I mean, I'm selfish. I want him there fighting. Somebody needs to fight. And I like his approach. Like I said, it was unapologetic. And we need those people out there.
It is
So
interesting, though. He's in a campus where at least 30 or 40 or 50% of the professors there are probably Jewish. And it's interesting from this Israeli perspective, no matter how left he was, he
right.
became an activist, meaning he didn't give in to the SJP rhetoric, into the Jews for Palestine or whatever rhetoric. He stayed true in a way to his inner guiding light. I mean, it's not interesting, really, because you see his family, from Eichmann. This is a family that's driven by the necessity for the survival of the people of Israel, and it's really, really, in an academic environment, and I know that place. I mean, where there is so much pressure, and I think the pressure from the Jewish professors is probably the most
Oh, I
difficult.
have no doubt. And that's the most difficult one. We've spoken about that before, is how do we deal with these the as a Jews and the and it's one of the most challenging things we have. We've got a whole bunch of them here in South Africa who are only listened to and who only have any publicity. Their only legitimacy is their Jewish name.
Is that a category, Howard? As a Jew? As a Jew?
Yes, because they
Oh, I
start,
see.
well, I think, maybe, I don't even know where it started. It might even be that I, no, I don't think I started it, but I don't know. Because they start every tweet with, as a Jew. And the minute anybody starts with an as a Jew statement, then you know that if they're male, they certainly aren't making a minyan. But never mind that. If they are, then their children certainly aren't. But it's a very different, it's as a Jew. Those are the characters around, and those are the most dangerous. And we see them in, there's a high concentration of them in academia.
Yes, I know. I mean, Howard, several years ago, I was at the Institute for Advanced Studies at the Hebrew University, and there were a bunch of scholars that came from all over the world, all Jewish. And we had a conference at the end of the year, and the virtue signaling of my colleagues, younger, early career scholars, were very, very vulnerable. So the virtue signaling there for all of the Jews who had come to this conference, the paper that she gave was on Hamlet. And she managed to mention, this is before October 7th, she managed to mention the occupation during a talk on Hamlet. So that's the kind of, as a Jew, virtue signaling. I'm not, I'm on the right
I'm
side.
trying
And
to
I was
find
thinking,
any link between Hamlet
well,
and
Howard, you're obviously not a scholar like
no,
I
obviously I'm
am.
not. But I just thought it was the uncle who I didn't think he occupied. But anyway, maybe he did.
It's a good reading. It's a very good reading, Howard.
Okay, cool. He did occupy the money. Anyway, never mind that. Let's not go there. It's a family show. So yeah, so that is that it's become very, very dangerous. Ronette, you were saying?
Yeah, I think that, and I want to relate to what you were saying, Howard. This idea of, and now we're kind of dividing the Jewish professors into one category and the Israeli professor into one category, because I don't know if the American Jews know how to play the game. They understand the political, whatever is happening, underneath the surface. But this guy who just couldn't, be quiet. He had to do something. And again, I'm going back to this idea of them kind of letting go of that thought of letting, him go, and him just trying to find his way. I don't hear a lot of Jewish professors speaking out, American Jewish professors speaking out. I don't. And I think that's a voice that I'm missing. You know, what do they have to say? You know, it's why are they not outraged? It's very
I'll
interesting. I mean,
take
I do hear people, but the professors are more like, you know, are more silent.
What about
I don't
the
know.
gender studies departments across the United States, where there have to be many Jewish professors involved? We have a mass sexual assault on October the 7th, and there's silence there.
Rape is resistance, Howard. Rape is resistance. That's what the sign said, Columbia.
Especially rape of Jewish women, right? That's the definition of resistance. That was a horrifying week for us. I mean, you know, I mean, we knew. I mean, it was nothing, you know, I mean, it was nothing new, really. But just, you know, reading, and I couldn't read all of it. I had to say, I had to stop. It just it it's and it's nobody speaks upon it, right? It's just, you know, it's hushed because it's okay, because it's the Jews, it's the Jewish women.
Because
There's
there's
something
been so
very,
much
very
noise around it, and there's been so much minimizing of it, that by the time these reports, which have just come out again, confirming it, by the time they're there, everybody's already so primed to be able to just look the other way that no one takes it seriously.
I mean, what is that psychological mechanism, Howard? I mean, so much of the university curriculum is really dedicated towards in women's studies, and not even in women's studies, just in general literary studies about gender and male patriarchy. And then this happens, violence against women, and they look the other way. It's
Yes,
the kind
because they
of
weren't microaggressions. Those ones we don't tolerate. The macro ones we're okay with, right?
what would be
Yeah,
What would be a microaggression, Howard? What would be a microaggression?
what would be a micro opening a door for a woman, maybe.
Ooh, Howard, you.
That's a
I'm not
microaggression.
going there.
No. Let's rather not. Let's rather
I'm not going there.
Some other time, Howard. Bernice has a lot to say, believe me. She has a
Oh,
lot to say.
good.
Oh,
Then we
I
definitely want to
do.
go there
I
another
do.
time. We most definitely do. No, but I mean, but that's really the issue, right? Is they have shown that that a lot of academia is actually BS, really, because it's as you spoke about virtue signaling. It's about these lofty ideas and real care, but when it translates to the real world, then everything just very simply falls apart. We do need to leave it there. It is a important and fascinating conversation, but as always, we have a run out of time, because that's what we do when the three of us get on the on this one of these discussions together. Professor Bill Kohlbrenner, who is a professor of English at Bar-Ilan University, Ronit Etan, PhD candidate at the English department, also at Bar-Ilan, the creative director of Writing on the Wall, talking about academia and what is happening, particularly in the United States.